Good morning, everybody, and thanks for coming to this session. Enjoy the party yesterday? Hopefully. Alrighty, so let's get started. My name is Stefano Tempesta. Today, this session is a bit of a buzzword that probably you already heard sometimes, the CQRS, event sourcing, and see how we can build application that can scale and are more maintainable using these design patterns. So the agenda for the session is packed. There is quite a bit, and we'll go through data model, source code in C#, and a bit of a demo building an MVC application. We'll talk, first of all, trying to clarify what is the terminology. So that we set a bit of clarity around what is a SAGA, what is a process manager, what is an aggregate. And then we focus on how we build commands and handlers, how we process events, and we put all together into a real application. We'll have a look how we create a bus, a command bus, an event bus, and why it's important to keep them separate. And then, as said, also we'll play a bit with the MVC application and put this in the context all together using Entity Framework for repository, Ninject for as a DI container. So we try to separate all the different layers. So it's a bit technical, and anytime feel free to ask a question. We try to be as much interactive as possible, and as we'll discuss as I present the few topics, I'll always try to identify why doing something or not doing something in a specific way address the scalability or maintainability of a solution. So, what happened here? Here we go. Before we start, just briefly about me. I work for EF Education. I lead a large team of engineers, and I'm basically traveling a bit different regions, currently based in Switzerland, and I'm sure that you are familiar with the specialties of Switzerland. They are very good for cheese, very good for watches. Anybody said the secret bank accounts? That's right. And also Lindt, the Swiss premium chocolate that I brought here for you. Pass around and enjoy. And true story, I live in Zurich, 5 minutes from the Lindt factory. Every morning, open the window. Dangerous, extremely dangerous. But that's the funny part of it. Alrighty, so let's have a look at the application. I'll briefly demo it now. It runs in the context of SharePoint, but is irrelevant. I'm using SharePoint as a app engine. And then we'll dig how that application has been built and the patterns of the CQRS and the event sourcing. Be careful, I heard a few people pronouncing CQRS. Need to be undecided on the correct way of saying. Alrighty. Plaza close. Here we go. I'm online. Yes, all right. I'm running into a virtual machine, so come on. Really? Let me go offline. Seems the browser keep on opening. There we go. All right, so that's the application. I said it's running into a SharePoint engine, but basically it's an MVC application. We'll go more into the details. The domain is in a school. At EF, we run several schools around the world, and situations may happen where there is an emergency to which we need to respond very quickly. Especially for some schools that are based in Europe, recent events have been a bit unfortunate, but it's not only that kind of events that we need to respond, but also can be, you know, of natural cases like a flood, a fire. So what we have built is basically an application for a dashboard for responding to emergencies whenever they occur. It's an application that you build, you has to work perfectly because there are people's life at stake, but hopefully you don't want to use it ever. So, but when you do have to use it, it has to be very responsive, quick to perform, and obviously reliable in the information. So the dashboard presents a number of students. This is just a very small sample, but school typically deals with up to 2,000 students at the same time. So the volume of information to manage is significant. And for each student, we obviously have some information about, you know, their contact details, their accommodation, their country of origin. But what is important is the first column on the left-hand side, their status, which indicates basically if the student is safe, or the status is unknown, or is in danger in a response to an event. There is a bit of automation, but we don't have, unfortunately, the time to go too much into it. So there is a bit of working with bots or with automatic detection of the location to determine whether a person is safe or in danger. But what is more important here is how this application has been built, the separation of all the different layers, and what is the data model. So, for example, here, just to make a quick example, I can try. All right, so in this case, we want to check the status of the student, Alexander Miglis. We have already reached a few times via SMS. His response was no. Here there is a bot that is basically responding identifying the status and putting the status in danger because the answer was no. Then we tried to contact Alexander with a call. We didn't get any answer. We can try again. We can say Alexander. And now this is an SMS that is initiated by a school operator. Alexander, can you confirm whether you are okay or not? Say reply yes or no. And now I'm also suggesting the answer to give because there is again this bot that processes the answer. If yes or no, the status will change accordingly. So it will give a send. So now the message is being just sent. Time zone here is on the server where the application is running to Alex. Now let's pretend that Alex is responding. So I have here a quick application for simulating the response, which is a simulator of what the bot will do. I put in here in a second. So the bot responds to several channels. We are doing SMS for now. This is for Alexander Miglis, and he will say yes, all good. So it's sending back a message. If I just refresh the application here, now its state has changed to safe because yes has been recognized as one of the answers that the bot expect to change the status. So this is the application. We use it for real. and has been built with in MVC, running into SharePoint, but it has been built with the intention of being as scalable as possible, because it's typically, we don't use it, but when it happens, it needs to support thousands of concurrent requests at the same time. All righty, so I switch off this one and go back to put it down, back to the slide. So before we get into the implementation of the application, let's just clarify and set the context for the CQRS, so that, you know, when we walk through the code, also some terminology is familiar. And if any of these is already known, welcome also feedback. If it's not, and there are this clarification, please feel free to ask. Typically, I have used the two patterns of the segregation between query and command and event sourcing, also in conjunction with a domain-driven design. It just comes easier because you design your domain. So in our case, there is a student, is an entity. There is a school, is another entity. There is an event, an emergency event, is another entity. And then a dashboard that contains the aggregation of a student belonging to a school in response to an event. So this is our domain. We describe our object using interfaces, classes, and we combine these together in what we call an aggregate. Then we separate a command and events. So the aggregates have a specific functionality, which is basically to raise events. And then the commands are executed sequentially by what is generally called a command handler. A command handler is basically some object that processes all the commands in sequence and create the workflow of the application. In our case, a workflow can be, as soon as an event occurs, it is created in the system, and then all the students are displayed into the dashboard, and then the operators of the school start interacting with the dashboard to check their status. So a workflow is made, obviously, of different steps, and there is some conditions. So a few key points here. What is a command? So a command is an action, and the term action also marries very well with an action in a controller in MVC, and we will see this later, how that actually applies quite significantly well. It is an asynchronous operation that returns no value, so it is a basically matching the pattern on the fire and forget. So execute the command, don't expect anything back. The command will be processed by the queue, which is the command bus. There are different ways of implementing a command bus, typically in memory, using a queue or a list, or in the cloud, Azure offers Service Fabric, which sits well for this kind of applications. Together with the command, we have events, and which, as the name suggests, obviously happen when in response to an action in the system. There is a separate bus for the events, and this is intentional because although commands and events share a lot of properties in common, we want to keep them separate for increased scalability. If we have two separate queues, they can be processed without clash with each other, and especially we can run in parallel and avoid lock between each other. And locks are one of the key damage to performance. And then we have these terms of saga. Now there are different schools of thoughts, but in general, a saga is a process manager, execution of steps in sequence over a duration of time. The time can be as short as a few seconds or as long as hours, days. Doesn't really matter. It's a workflow. It's a workflow with state. It can be stateless, but it may have actually state. And in order to maintain state, it's implementing as a state machine. And we'll see this in the code. The key, though, is that and this is one of the challenges in implementing these sagas, this kind of pattern, is try to avoid putting business logic in there. If you have a if-then-else, you're putting some business logic already. And you're mixing what is the sequencing of actions with what your application does or would do in response to some event. So stick only to the sequence of actions. So the saga manages all the processes in sequence. But if there is a condition, like if the status is A, B, C, then do that, then is already business logic. Or if you apply, if the value is some type and then you want to apply a discount, that is business logic. As I mentioned before, state machine prevents blocking of transactions exactly because they are executed in sequence, because also we have the two separate buses between event and commands. They work also in parallel. And let's have a look how that is implemented, because some sample will basically clarify more than a lot of words. Now, the domain. This one on screen is big, is not extremely visible. I will zoom in a moment. But the domain is made of a lot of objects. There are aggregates that represent our entities with rich properties. There are commands and command handlers. There are events and process manager that process the event themselves. So let's have a look how they look like for real. And then I expect confusion, because I'm the first one challenging on the separation of all these elements, and then we'll try to clarify. All right, so I'll go to my Visual Studio now and zoom in a bit and then try to see how the data model looks like. So we start with a few of the entities or actually aggregates that we have identified before. There is a school, some properties, a school has a number of students that are currently into the school for that week. A student, obviously, a few properties of the student, and this, you know, can be a simplified data model for the sake of this application, obviously. And then we have our emergency event, which is a bit the core of the application. We spend a bit more time into it. When an event occurs, a number of actions are performed. The actions are basically a response is deployed, which is represented by our dashboard that we have seen before. And the response aggregates the emergency event and all the elements. The elements are basically the combination of the student and their status, and also their location, actually. We didn't see too much about the location, but the combination of student, status, and location determines an element of the response. For each student, so for each element of the response to the emergency, we have a number of messages that are dispatched, that are sent through different channels. We have done the little example of the SMS, but the other channels of communication obviously can be supported. Now, at its simplicity, this data model identifies all the objects that we need, that we are using in our application. What is missing here is the actions. So what is actually happening? Because as you see from these diagrams, from these classes, we all have collection of properties, but we don't have any methods. So we don't have a method that describes what each object will do. And this is part of the commands. So we need to get into that in a moment, but I have identified a few commands in this application. And a command is actually another class with another property. And in response to a command, so when an action occurs, we have an event. And the event is another class with another property. So here again, we start identifying something very similar. Commands and events are actually classes. Okay, they may inherit from another base class, or they can implement an interface like iCommand, iEvent, fair enough. But in essence, they are classes with properties, and they don't expose any method. So they don't do any actions. So where the actual work happens? In the handler, which are managed, or in the business, in the process managers, which are queued into a bus, the command bus or the event bus, and then executed in sequence. So here is the difference in the design patterns that we are typically familiar with, where you normally would describe an entity. So let's take the typical example of an MVC application with entity frameworks as an ORM. You create your models, modeling after your entity, and then your controller defines the actions, and in the code behind, you do your database context, access the database, retrieve the information, and display on screen with a view. Here, the actions is all delegated to a service bus that process the commands in sequence, and each command is not a method, it's a class with some properties. So there are similarities, as briefly mentioned before, between commands and events, because they are simple classes, they are POCO classes with properties, but we decide and we want to queue them, to process them in separate command bus and event bus for scalability and for increased readability, maintainability in general of the application, because every time we want to create a new command, we just have to create a class. So what are commands? Well, commands are actions, although the action is only in the name of the class. When it actually works, what it actually does is in the event, in the command handler. So let's have a look at the code, because if we go here into the source code of a command, let's take a command of when an event occurs. So it's a create a new emergency event. There it is. When a new event is created, this is a very plain C# class that implements the iCommand interface, but basically has some three properties. The event where of reference, when it's been created, and who has created the event itself. There is no action here yet, right? So we only define this as a verb. So guidelines for naming commands is to use an imperative verb, create a new emergency event. Now we need to execute that. So the way it is executed is by the handler. Handlers, there is an handler for each command that we have identified. So in this case, it would be an emergency event handler. And the emergency event handler, I'll come back on the constructor with this with the dependency injected in a moment. The The handle method is where the actual command is executed. What happens in here, well, that's your implementation. That's your code. That's your business logic. So if I just zoom this a bit. Maybe I'll zoom the code a bit so we have a bit of a better view on here. Here it is. So what this handle doing inside the command handler is going into the repository. The repository can be your entity framework, it can be your SharePoint database, it can be directory IDO.NET into the database. Doesn't really matter. And it's doing a bit of conversion. In this case, it's doing a mapping between entities and the aggregate. Again, this is purely for the sake of this implementation because I decided to separate between an aggregate and an entity. If you want to use the same object, feel free. If you want to use libraries like AutoMapper for automapping the properties, more than welcome. And then eventually going to the repository and create that specific object, the specific aggregate. The repositories are of two types because we're talking about separation of commands and separation of queries. And that is the other important aspect of the CQRS patterns, that our repositories are separate. Separate. We have one for querying object that has that does the select basically from the database or any other type of repository, and another one that is for the create, insert, and update. So the typical approach that you will normally have in an MVC application, where you create your entity and then you create a controller with the CRUD actions, now here is split. And as soon as we get into the MVC application, you will see that controllers in MVC using CQRS have a completely different structure. And the reason for doing that is, again, for separating between when you read and when you write, for performance reasons, for scalability, and for separating concerns. Also because the information that you write not necessarily is the same information that you want to read and display on the screen. And that, again, will be very much clearer when we see the MVC application, because on the screen, you may want to display some information, aggregate information from different sources, hence the name aggregate, and then display on screen. And when you write individually into the separate entities. In this case, I'm injecting the dependency of the query repository and the command repository into the handler. I'm using a library for dependency injection, Ninject. We'll get into that in a moment, just as a example of DI container. Okay, so now that's the command. What is next? Next is the event. So let me zoom in a bit again. For each aggregate, if one or more events can be raised. So is the aggregate responsible for creating an event when a status changes? In response to an action, the create new emergency event action, an instance of the emergency event aggregate is created and an event is raised. The event is emergency event created. In response to a change of a property, another event can be generated. And so we have identified a number of events. In this case, there is one event for each command, except for this other command, for the aggregate. Except for this aggregate, the response element that has two events below. But again, the number of events it depends on the business logic of the application. What is an event again? An event is a POCO class with just a few properties. Emergency event created. Emergency event created. Here it is on screen. It implements the iEvent interface, and the emergency event created is an event that brings the information which event has been created and when the same event has been created. So again, purely information without action. Where's the action done? The action is done into the process manager. The process manager, and we have a manager for each kind of event, is where the actual event is handled. So the emergency event manager, which is under my sagas, because it's where all the sequence of the workflows are executed. Emergency event manager, here it is. Here it is basically is a process manager, and it processes that specific event that we have seen before, the emergency event created. And here is saying, if it is active, then add this command to the list of commands that are available in the command bus. So what's happening here? All right, first of all, a little contradiction to what I said before. There is an if here. I said that there shouldn't be an if into your process manager. It's only workflow logic, it's not business logic. All righty, fair enough. This if is checking a status because the next step to execute in the workflow depends on the status. It's not business logic, it's workflow logic. So it is acceptable. It wouldn't be okay to check if the status is active and then change the value of another property. That is a change of state and is not valid in the context of a process manager, obviously. You will change state in the aggregate, so within the domain. In the context of a process manager, we only change the sequence of commands to execute. So what is now happening here is after the emergency event created is raised, what is the next step in the workflow? The next step is execute the command, generate a response for that specific event that is passed in input. So the generate response to event is a command. So here is what's happening. A command initially, action on some aggregate, the aggregate raises an event, the event determines what is the next command to execute, and back again. Command, event, command, event, command, event. They all execute in sequence, and that identifies the workflow. It's a bit difficult to follow. I totally get it. And sometimes it's difficult to code it because there are really a lot of classes to create. But because they are so short classes, that where your command is one class only, you don't build classes with a lot of methods where you have all add, do this and do that. But each method, each action is a separate class. It will become very natural pattern to build and to write. So I tried to make myself clear by creating this workflow on screen. Let's see if it makes sense. A controller add a command. Now the term controller here is not casually, is actually means a person doing an action on the screen, clicking a button, sending a message, or it can be an MVC controller. But the idea here is something triggers the start of the workflow. When that happens, a command, an action is executed. and that command is added to the command bus. The command bus implements the observable pattern or interface, and there are a lot of observers that are looking into this queue. When a new command is in the queue, the handler, which is observing that queue, executes the command by running that handle method that we have seen before. As a consequence of executing the command, an aggregate is typically created or modified or deleted. So there is an action that is performed on the aggregate. All right, let's stop here for a moment and let's put this into context of what we have what we have seen before of our application. As a school director, I'm the controller. There is a new emergency event. So I create in the dashboard, in the system, a new event. That is my first action. Command is create a new emergency event. This command is published into a command bus, which is a queue, and then there is an observer that is looking into the queue. Why is that instead of being executed directly? First of all, nothing is executed immediately. Everything is asynchronous. Performance, it doesn't hold the UI. It scales because you just queue messages and you don't lose messages. That's one of the commodities of running of a queue, especially the implementation like the Azure Service Fabric, where you know there is a guarantee of delivery, there is monitoring, there is logging, and obviously there is scaling, infinite scaling. All right, so that is the first benefit of using a command bus for executing commands rather than executing directly. Then the observer is there. Second point that not everybody, that is not obvious, that is not immediately clear. By having an observer watching a command bus, you can actually implement a level of security because not everybody can process all the commands that are in the queue, only the observer that are subscribed to receive that kind of command, which means basically that thousands, millions of commands can be queued, but only the applications that subscribe to receive that kind of program or command are entitled to execute. In this way, we apply a form of security on the messages that are transferred because only a specific observer can process the information and ignore any other information, any other messages that is in the in the bus, in the queue. All right, so as an observer, there is a message. Is my message because I subscribe to that kind of message, so there is a matching on the type. We'll see this in a moment, and then I create an aggregate or I update, change status. I do something on my domain, on my data model. That something raises an event, and that is the peculiarity of these patterns. That is a command event. That event now goes again into another queue, the event bus, and again, performance reason, scalability. We don't want to use the same queue, although at the end, event and command are C# classes, they are POCO classes, can be queued into their object, they can be queued into the same bus, but we keep them separate, they scale better. And then, similar approach, a process manager is looking into the queue. And as soon as an event is raised, capture the event and look into what is the next command to execute. And it loops until the application ends. So that's the way the event sourcing works in connection with the separation of query and commands. Let's see this in action. So we were here at this process manager. When this event is raised, it processes the event, add this to the queue. This queue here, if we go to the process manager level, is basically my queue, my command bus, which in this case is implemented in memory. It's a command bus in process and is a singleton, so there is only one queue for all the commands. And if I dig into it, as you see, this is just a static singleton instance. It basically has a queue. There should be a queue somewhere. It is. There is a queue of all the commands and a list of all the observer of my commands. You can subscribe as an observer, and when there is a new command, it just enqueued, is added to the queue for being processed. Very simple, in memory, it runs in the same process of the application. Obviously not the best for scalability, but it still performs the functionality of queuing all the messages, all the commands in this case. Same happens for our events that are added to the, where is it? To the event bus. Event bus, here it is, the event bus. There is a static instance of the event bus, and then all the events are added to, in this case, is a list instead of a queue for some reason, whatever. Okay, so now let's go and see what happens in the context of a web application. So let me just run this very quickly. Just run from here. All right. Emergency response. We can manage our schools, our students, and our emergency events. Let's go into the emergency events. Here there is our emergency event. Zoom in a little bit. Here we go. This is our previous event. So now we are in purely in an MVC application. So we are running into the emergency controller, the emergency events controller. This is the default action. When I create new, it will go into the create new emergency event action. Now, this seems very similar to a regular MVC application that probably most of us have done, especially using the automatic scaffolding of Visual Studio in connection with the entity framework. You define the entity, and then you just go and add a new controller with the scaffolding for all the CRUD operations, and you create the index, the details, edit, create, and delete actions. Now, here is slightly different, although obviously the principle is the same. Instead of having a typical CRUD operation, so to create and update and delete, here we are naming actions after the command. So that create new emergency event, if you remember, is the name of the command of that class that we have defined before. So here is the change in pattern of having MVC in connection with the CQRS and event sourcing. It's basically our controller expose actions named after the commands that we have identified in the domain before. And when that happens, the view that you have on screen is a view model that is not necessarily matching your initial aggregate. In this case, obviously, there are a few drop-down lists. There are some text fields, maybe here a date pick. Surely is less information or more information than what is in the aggregate. The point is define your view after your view model, completely independent from your domain, and then aggregate these on the back end. So for example, here we can create a new event. Car accident. Oh, you active in San Diego, created by me. Here we go. So now, what happened here? Let's have a look at, we can stop this. Let's have a look at our controller. Controller, here it is. Okay, so our controller, first of all, there is a service that is injected at runtime. I'll come back on that in a moment to our controller. The index is pretty much similar to what we have, what we will normally get in the index. We get a list of all the models, of all the events and we display, so that is not our concern for today. But what is important to see is how the action is now named after the command. So this create new emergency event was exactly this one, create new emergency event. So here is the class that represents the command that is executed, and here is the action in the context of an MVC controller. Now, this one is when displaying the form for the first time. So there is nothing in there rather than just putting some information into the view bag and displaying in the view. What is interesting to see instead is here in the post. So when we create save, that model, which is a view model with a number of properties, is validated, and then is not executed directly. And that's the big change to the typical MVC plus entity framework approach that we will normally take. Here, if I may, we will probably do something like DB emergency. Obviously, it doesn't exist, but just to make it clear, emergency event dot add my model, right? We'll do something like this, and then db dot save changes, and that will be my entity framework persisting my model into the database. So there is an action that is executed immediately in response to a post. Now we do nothing of that. We are actually adding this event, sorry, this command. The name event here is confusing. This is the emergency event, nothing to do with event sourcing. This is a command because it starts with create, created event. So it creates a new event and it adds to the command bus. Now this is a queue of UI command bus, but if we have a look into it, it is, where is it? Here it is. It's still referencing the same instance. So we basically have a queue of actions that are executed on the UI from a controller that is posting, that is adding new commands in the same command bus. And here is doing a bit of identifying the parameters that are needed. So they create a new emergency event command, needs an event, the date of creation, and they created by. So it basically creating the event, doing a bit of mapping, created by, and created on. Some of these things, again, with libraries like AutoMapper can be simplified a bit, because you see most of the properties have the same name, but sometimes they are not, and then you will need a bit of a manual mapping. But anyway, and then it will redirect again to the index to refresh the page. So when adding to the command bus, what's happening basically is command bus, we are implementing the observable interface. This has a number of observers that are registered to execute, so they subscribe to execute a command. When the command is executed, I need to remember, but it should be in the command handler. Here it is. Because this one is an observer, there is this method that is executed every time there a new command pops into the queue. And doing a bit of reflection, thank you. The name wouldn't come. Doing a bit of reflection, get the handle method that matches the type of the value and then invokes. And if you remember, when we were into the event handler, the handle has a specific command to execute. So if the type of the command matches the parameter of the handle, then that is the handler to the subscriber, the observer to execute. It is a bit going around here, but basically is coming back to this point that a command is added to the queue, the observer is looking into the queue, and then performs that action. That action then raise the event, which is the next step. So in here, as you can see, we are creating our emergency event. When we create our emergency event, and we are doing with this repository, which is, let me see where it is, is here. Repository is an implementation of the I command repository, where we have a create, update, and delete in the command. And in the query, we have instead the read for extracting the information. So two repositories obviously separate. So when we create, the concrete implementation is based on entity frameworks. So here we have somewhere a reference to the database context of entity framework. And this is doing what we were normally used to do in the controller, but now is separate into the command repository. So is setting the entity and save the changes, or removing for delete, or updating, setting the state to modified. So now we have moved the execution of the CRUD operation into a separate instance of the repository. Now, this is entity framework because it's a concrete implementation of the iCommand repository. But inside here, it can be anything. You can save into SharePoint, you can save into Dynamics CRM, you can save on a file system or any other database. This implementation is really, again, up to the developer. When we have specified the let me go up a second. Emergency handler, here we go. We pass an input, the query repository and the command repository. This is not done manually or I would say programmatically. This is done using a container for dependency injection, which is our ninject. Let me have a look. Here it is. I'm not spending too much time now on ninject because obviously it's just a library that you reference in NuGet, install it, and then there is a bit of documentation on how to use it. But the way it works basically is that it binds an interface to a concrete, and every time there is as an input parameter to an object, to a class, the interface, the DI container automatically replaces with the EF, with the concrete implementation. So this is one way of doing dependency injection by injecting the dependency through the constructors. Alrighty, so I will say that let me see what remains to be said. MVC, we have seen, so that was actually the last part of it. So let's try to summarize a bit. I think putting this one again will help to finalize a few aspects here. Implementing the CQRS and the event sourcing requires a bit of practice. I agree with that, and it's difficult, honestly, to explain. Actually, it's more difficult to follow, I believe, especially on a screen. Practice again would be ideal. For me, the first challenge was moving away from what Visual Studio has spoiled us doing it for too much time, that you create all your controller, all your MVC application with automatic scaffolding with the entity frameworks, and you have all the CRUD operation in there, and in minutes you are up and running, to a lot of other classes. You know, if you remember here the screen, we have a lot of classes for our domains, which is not necessarily the entity, and then instead of having methods for the action, so you have another classes, and then you have a handler, and then you have a bus. So it starts getting intense. The good news, though, is that they are all small, isolated, so it's very easy to maintain, it's very easy to write new commands. And when you start entering into the patterns, you know, okay, class, I need to do another action, I create a class. I need to raise an event, I create another class. And then the process is basically quite automatic. Try. It's interesting. It's a different approach to what I was used before, and I, in the experience of building this application, we found that having the two separate buses, the two separate queues for commands and events, has improved a lot performance. That running asynchronously doesn't hold on the UI. So there are a few little things that we have seen came out very convenient of going this way, using the CQRS and the event sourcing in the context of an MVC application. So I would say that we are at the end of this session. Don't forget to evaluate for your chance to win a Surface Pro and a brand new Xbox One S. Any questions, doubts, and fears?
Using a queue, like a base or a Redis or something like that. Have you
Look, these patterns sit beautifully with containers and with the microservice architecture. Don't put everything in a VM. Otherwise, what's the benefit of separating? You are running everything in proc, everything in the same in the same process. So then the bottleneck is on the infrastructure. The beauty of this is that each queue can be separated. Now here there is one event, one queue for the event, one for the commands, but actually each command can have their own queue and each event can have their own queue. Depends on the complexity of your application. And as you distribute, each queue can go into a separate container or a separate or a instance of service fabric. That's it, yeah.
Mm. How do you make sure that the state between them are both up to date so that if you're writing and reading that you actually get the up to date values?
It's not necessarily implementing the repository pattern. But actually it's a good point because it's called a repository, but what it's doing is a transaction only. Is storing or reading. So it doesn't have state. So when you save, you just save on the database. When you want to read, you retrieve again from the database. The two don't talk to each other. And this is why you can distribute. If you want to do that, because Entity Framework at the end it does by having a in-memory repository, you need to work with some form of cache probably, but that will go against the concept of having microservices. So probably the name repository here is a bit misleading because it's not the repository pattern, but is a store manager in some way. Yeah. But thanks for the clarification. Good point.
Yeah. How do you prevent the same messages being processed in two different processes?
That's very good question that will require a lot of time to answer, but shortly, using a better queue than an in-process queue. Because what I've done for this example is a queue that is there and then obviously concurrency may execute the same command or the same manage the same event multiple times. Having a queue that is concurrency friendly will resolve that. I'm experimenting a bit with Azure Service Fabric, and Service Fabric does exactly that. Once the observer has captured the attention of the message in the queue, no one else can use it. It's been locked and allocated only to be processed. So no one else can actually process the same command again. Normal queues or lists will not work in this case. You need to use a lock mechanism. But I don't want to implement locks by myself because, in code, because again, locks are critical to performance. And if you do it wrong, you get at the end, you lose the benefit of distributing. Yep. Look, I'm using for this application because, first of all, we wanted something that can scale to the quickly. And when we have an emergency situation that will require a lot of concurrent requests, I don't know what is the volume of traffic that I have. So putting on a VM, it wouldn't probably scale. And then I have to add another one, and then I have to deploy the application, and it will take some time. And even if in Azure or in AWS you can script VMs to be ready in a few minutes, still it's not that immediate scalability. By having instead a bit of the container approach, distributing application components of the application, so the bus, the commands, the events into single entities, then you kind of obtain unlimited scalability. When I wouldn't use it, well, look, it is not easy to implement. It's more about a matter of practice. But if you get familiar with this approach, then yes, go for it. The challenge that I found at the beginning is that convincing the team to think object, domain-oriented, rather than unit of work. We think as a unit of work, as a pattern. No? Do this, and then do that, and then do that as a sequence of action. Here, instead, is really about separating the command from the event, the command from the event, and then creating the workflow in sequence. So I wouldn't use it for simple applications that you need to, you know, create a user interface very quickly. So they want to kick me out of the room, okay? And thanks again for coming, and yes, so often enjoy the rest of the day.